Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you are not in Starkville or Tupelo, that's not a problem. Just make the quick trip to the website, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you are looking for the 4th of July, you know, the most American of holidays, I suggest some beef on the menu for that one. It's what George Washington and those boys would have wanted when they were crossing the Delaware to secure our freedom. They were thinking about steak the whole time. That's just a fact. It's a fact of life. Beef, it's what's for America. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. It's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything is at College Corner. Whatever you're looking for to make yourself known as a Mississippi State Bulldog, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, original by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the bankers at Priority One Bank. Bankers who treat you with respect, that know you by name, not just by your account number. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mr. Barone is here in class today for summer school. We will talk some transfer portal a little later. Mr. Barone, did you do your virtual learning yesterday? If I pop quiz you right now, who are the greatest receivers in Mississippi State history? Mr. Barone, this is quite disappointing. All right.
I know there was a debate on the Super Talk social media about it.
Yeah.
I was actually too busy explaining the Jackie Sherrill Bull thing to my friends. So my apology. They had,
you know, if you're spreading the gospel, I can't.
I had a bunch of people text me and they're like,
Can you explain
what I just watched here?
The text me.
Yeah.
So, Super Talk. Like, I'm coming home from work yesterday and I look at Twitter and it says, there's this graphic. Who is Mississippi State? I was like, I texted Will. I was like, could this not have waited until tomorrow when the podcast comes out? And he's just like, oh, I thought that was today's podcast. Like, you idiot.
Come on, man.
This guy. So. Well, that debate rages. I reached out to Chad Bumpus to let him know he made the cut. He was very excited. He made the team. Today we're going to talk tight ends and offensive line. The tight end debate, Carlo, is going to be kind of a short one. State's had some good tight ends, some guys who've played in the league and have had good careers, but no one has ever underutilized the tight end position more in the history of college football, I think, than Mississippi State. And when you hear some of these names, you might know some of them, you know, from the NFL. For example, I mean, Donald Lee is a longtime Packer. You should know who that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Played at Mississippi State. He's an honorable mention. Jesse Anderson played a number of years in the league. Jordan Thomas played a number of years in the National Football League. Malcolm Johnson played with the Browns for a number of years as a tight end. State's had some quality tight ends, but they've never had a season for a tight end where, kind of like what Priest Court and Daquan Wright were doing at Ole Miss, or even before that with Evan Engram, at Ole Miss, a tight end who was like the big focal point of the offense. It's just never happened.
So Mississippi State is the polar opposite of Iowa, is what I'm hearing here.
That very well, yes, very well put. Similar in many ways, but different in that one. So,
got it.
So my answer to the greatest tight end question is going to be Reggie Kelly. Kelly played 4 years at Mississippi State, 95 through 98. I tell you the stats, you're just be like, what? 29 career catches. That's all he had. This is a guy who played 12 years in the National Football League. A guy good enough to stay on a pro roster for 12 years, and State couldn't find a way to get the ball into his hands more 30 times in his college career. 29 catches, 474 yards. So he averaged 16 yards a catch. That's a pretty good number for a tight end. Only scored 2 touchdowns ever in his college career. He was an outstanding blocker, and that's part of the reason, you know, when you're drafted in 1998, if you're a tight end, being an outstanding blocker is a big part of the package. You know, we're not quite to the time of Tony Gonzalez and you know, as we go into this era with Antonio Gates and Travis Kelce, of these guys who are going to catch 80, 90 passes a year from the tight end position. So being a great run blocker was a big part of it. But Reggie Kelly, two of the biggest plays I remember in his college career had the long catch against Alabama, which set up the game-winning field goal in 1996. After State had fallen behind, everybody in the stadium thinks, okay, all right, Alabama's done it to us again. They're going to win. And he has this long catch, and they just dump the ball off to him, and he runs about 50, 60 yards. That one, and then he had a long catch in the 1998 Egg Bowl to set up a touchdown in that game where Mississippi State wins and goes on to the SEC championship game. So, you know, I feel like this is a guy that in this day and age of college football, Reggie Kelly might have been a guy who catches 40 or 50 passes a year. But in this time, it just wasn't meant to be. So Reggie Kelly is our all-time tight end for Mississippi State. It was a much more difficult decision on the offensive line. And we've got some honorable mention guys that are, I mean, we're talking, all of these guys were first team all SEC. Every single one of these guys was first team all SEC. Honorable mention. And a couple of these, they hurt. They just hurt to put them on there. Randy Thomas, first team all SEC, part of the SEC West champion teams in 1998. Nearly got into a fight with Ansu Cisse at a basketball game, which was hilarious. Cisse said something to him, and I thought Thomas was going to come over the student section to get to him. Really, really good football player, but doesn't make the cut. Wayne Harris, SEC Offensive Lineman of the Year in 1982. Great player for Mississippi State. He doesn't make the cut. Does not make the cut. John James, first-team All-SEC tackle. And Jackie Sherrill's first couple of seasons at Mississippi State. Unbelievable football player. He does not make the cut. He gets the honorable mention. Derek Sherrod, name you might know, first round pick of the Green Bay Packers. His pro career never really took off, but an absolute brick wall of a left tackle at Mississippi State. First team All American. He's not gonna make the cut. Does not make the cut for
tough
me.
List here, man.
This was tough. And then Martinez Rankin, another first team all SEC guy. NFL draft pick, part of some great offenses. Sorry, do not make the cut. So
your
I better have
great, not good.
I better have 5
out.
Good ones, right? I better be good.
Sure.
So let's dive in. We'll start.
I have a feeling I'll know some of these.
You should know a few of them, and we'll start at the right tackle position with a great player. But if I were to go with the greatest nicknames in Mississippi State history, he's near the top, and that is Floyd Porkchop Womack. Played left tackle at Mississippi State. We're going to put him on the right tackle. I just felt like there were so many great left tackles. I got to move some guys around. It's just got to be that way. But Womack, second-team All-American, first-team All-SEC in 2000, third-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks, obviously blocked for a couple of great offenses at Mississippi State, that 2000 offense. That had DeCenzo Miller and Dante Walker, who were both up around 1,000 yards rushing. Just an outstanding football player. I mean, you just look at him and you're like, that guy can block. He had the look. Me?
No. Well, I was going to say Porkchop. You get a nickname like that.
If your nickname is Porkchop, yeah, you better. You better be big and tough. That's all I'm saying. They say certainly that. So Porkchop Womack is going to be our right tackle. We're going to go to a player you definitely will be familiar with at the right guard, a player who currently plays for the Green Bay Packers. Elgton Jenkins is going to be our first team right guard, a guy who played literally every position in college, from left tackle to right tackle, finally settled in at center as a senior. Not going to put him at center for this because he played guard. I feel it's okay. Hull Trophy winner as the best offensive lineman in the state of Mississippi. NFL draft pick, now one of the highest paid offensive linemen, I believe, in the NFL. So versatile, and he is the Dan Mullen success story. A guy, low three-star guy, no real other offers coming out of high school. Mississippi State signs him, develops him, and turns him into an All-American caliber football player. So Elgton Jenkins is going to be our
and he played about every position for Green Bay as well. He's
just
center.
A jack of all trades. He can do
he's
it.
Played,
he can do it all.
Right tackle, left tackle, or right tackle, left tackle, right guard. He's played everything.
He's got that core strength to be an interior guy, but he's got the footwork that if he has to play out on the outside as a tackle, he can do that. He's just an absolute stud offensive lineman. If you had five Elgton Jenkins, you could conquer the world. All right,
seriously.
No offense in America would be stopped with five Elgton Jenkins. All right, at the center position, well, they named the trophy for the best offensive lineman in the state of Mississippi after this guy. It better be him. That's Kent Hull, all SEC center, longtime NFL center for the Buffalo Bills. Should be a total snub, excuse me, that he's not in the Hall of Fame. I can't help but think if the Bills had won one of those four Super Bowls, he would probably be in. Was easily the best center in the NFL during his time here. Of course, a great legacy at Mississippi State, and now the best offensive lineman in this state gets a trophy named after the man. He damn well better be on the team. So there he is. We're going to go with Kent Hull as our center. At left guard, another All-American, another guy who played a long time in the NFL, another Mississippi guy, by the way. Am I correct? Kent Hull is from Mississippi. Elgton Jenkins is from Mississippi. Porkchop was from Mississippi, was he not? Let me double-check this. I may have an all-Mississippi line.
Wouldn't that be something?
Porkchop was from Cleveland, yeah. So, yeah, I do have an all-Mississippi line. That tells you something. Gabe Jackson is our left guard. First-team All-American his senior year. Won the Hull and the Connerly Trophy his senior year. So he won it as the best player overall on top of being the best offense. He was the first winner of the Hull Trophy and then won the Connerly. It was a big upset that year. Everybody thought Bo Wallace was going to win it. He did not. It was Gabe Jackson. Third-round pick of the Oakland, I guess, yeah, they were the Oakland Raiders at that time. Played a long time for them. Had a stint with the Seahawks there at the end as well. Have you ever meet Gabe Jackson? Like, if you were going to draw an offensive guard, if you're like, should an offensive guard look like from memory? It's Gabe Jackson. Big. I mean, his arms are as big around as some people's waists. He's just a monstrous human being. Really nice guy, though. It's that gentle giant thing going there for him. So Gabe Jackson is going to be our left guard. And then the left tackle, as I mentioned, you know, you're talking about Womack was a left tackle. Sherrod was an All-American. Rankin was an All-SEC guy. Great players, all of them. Charles Cross is the best offensive lineman I've ever seen at Mississippi State. Had it all. Had every tool that an offensive lineman needs to be dominant. I don't think it's any surprise that Will Rogers, probably his best season came when Charles Cross was protecting his backside. Number top 10 pick overall. Now one of the highest paid offensive linemen in professional football. All-American. There's nothing you can say about the guy. And, you know, came to Mississippi State. It was a five-star kid coming out of high school. Signed, you know, was committed to Florida State at one point, so they had to flip him back and got him in the boat and only played two full seasons, you know, because he left as a redshirt sophomore because what else was he going to do at that point? He was already a top 10 pick. I've seen a lot of offensive linemen come through the decades at Mississippi State. Charles Cross is, in my opinion, the best one that's ever put on maroon and white. I would take, if you had to do a draft, he is the guy I would take first. And I mean, I'm talking about if I just did a regular draft, I might take him first just to, because whoever I get at quarterback, I'm going to need that guy protecting them. So Charles Cross is our left tackle. So from left to right, Charles Cross, Gabe Jackson, Kent Hull, Elton Jenkins, Porkchop Womack. That's with Reggie Kelly at the tight end position. That's my all-time Mississippi State front six, shall we say.
Imagine that front six against anybody. Talking about 3 yards.
Here's the thing. Yeah, even against, like, if you said, give me an all-time Alabama or all-time LSU defense, I still like my chances with that group. I got All-Americans in that group. I'm fine. I would feel really good about it. So that's a good group there. And, you know, on the offensive line, Mississippi State, this it kind of ties into the debate that's been going around the state this week with recruiting and how state is kind of not getting the job done, especially, and you got to build your line of scrimmage through high school recruiting. Well, look at this. You know, Laurel High School, Amite County High School, Greenwood High School, Clarksdale High School, and Cleveland High School. Five Bulldog All-Americans, all from Mississippi high schools. And I understand it's a different day and age than it was when basically any of these guys played, even Charles Cross, who didn't play that long ago. But that is something, and that there's some kind of proof in that for you. So that's our offensive line. We'll do the defensive line next week. Again, going to be some studs in that group. Going to be some names that people know. People, even guys like you who aren't from Mississippi, you're going to know some of those names.
I think I can already guess two of them as well.
You could probably guess three if you try.
Probably.
Yeah,
probably so. Does that include like edge rushers?
What we'll do, we're going to set up a 4-man front. We're going to go 4-3.
Okay.
So
yeah, I could probably get three.
Two tackles and two ends.
Yeah, I think I know who that.
Right,
I got it.
We'll do see. That. We will see that. We will see that. That's going to be that. The cuts on that one are going to be agonizing.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Right, it's going to be really bad. It's going to be really tough. But we'll get through them. All right. So that's today's all-time team stuff. Let's move into the transfer portal. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats, where I had lunch yesterday. Fantastic lunch. And so this is – I went to lunch. We have a new guy on the beat, guys. If you're not following Jake McMahon from the Commercial Dispatch, give him a follow. He's a nice guy. Nice kid. You're not the youngest guy anymore, by the way.
Oh.
He's 22. No.
Well.
He's a baby.
Oh, wow. He is.
Yeah.
Welcome in. I'm not the child anymore.
There you go. But so it was me, Jake, Sam Sklar, and Colin Dams having lunch. I wanted to have like a I hadn't met Jake yet. I was like, hey, let's get lunch, and you know. Four guys, same restaurant. We each got different things.
Oh.
So I got up, it was Wing Wednesday. I took full advantage of that. I believe Sam got their barbecue, the white barbecue chicken and bacon sandwich. Jake got a pulled pork sandwich, and Colin got the Cuban sandwich, and couldn't have been happier. All four of us, we each had something different, but it was all delicious. And all of those things are awesome on the Two Brothers menu. And that's why I always tell you guys, it's the only restaurant in town where I don't walk in locked into something almost. I feel like I have a choices when I go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats, and you should do that too. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great.
You were
products,
lucky.
Great.
You were lucky I wasn't there, Brian. Wing Wednesday, you're lucky.
Shut up.
I'm just going to say it, man. You're lucky.
Yeah. All right. As soon as you get back, this is happening. I'll pay. Don't worry. You don't worry about the money.
I know
you're concerned. We're going on a Wednesday, and I'm just going to have to humiliate you in front of your friends and family.
Okay.
Now, tell your mom to come to eat. Tell her. You tell her, she eats, I pay.
Okay.
But it's just so she can watch what I, you know, me humiliate her son. It'll be you know.
Also,
my boy,
I can't wait.
What did he do?
Well, I can't wait for my mom to watch me lose a wing competition. Can't,
it's going
to
be
can't
something.
Wait. I'm going to win. I don't know we're talking about losing here.
You kids today. All right. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, if you need new copiers, printers, computers, laptops, whatever it is, call my friends at Advantage Business Systems. They'll get you taken care of, but more importantly, they'll take care of you long after that sale is made. They know how to take care of their customers. They've been doing it for over 50 years. years. 601-362-9192 or visit them online. ABSMS.com. Do you need me to buy you a headset?
Because no,
you are just, they will
just
not
my,
stay in.
It's fine. I actually have my headphones, but
maybe that's the way to go next time.
I tried. They wouldn't connect. I don't know. It's fine. Right.
Finding out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. You're driving me insane. It's
like, sorry, I'll keep my hands on.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear here in Starkville or in the Golden Triangle, nobody has a bigger, a better, a more unique, a wider selection than my friends over at Maroon & Co. Everything Mississippi State. They are the Mississippi State place to get what you're going to take to the game, wear to the game, wear around the house, have at your house, have on your car. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. As is our promo code, THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next Mississippi State game, make sure you're gone to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Guys, if you are trying to work out in the yard, if you're trying to work around the house, if you're going to get outdoors and hunt and fish, you're tricking to cook out, or if you've got a giraffe. You know, there's that giraffe on the run right now. I don't know if you've seen this.
Is this in Mississippi?
No, it's in Texas. They lost a giraffe. Well, maybe they need to go to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, get a big old bag of giraffe feed, and lay it out, lay a trail back into the cage.
There's a giraffe on the run?
It's a giraffe on the run in San Antonio.
Giraffe on the loose.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding. I wasn't making that up.
$5,000 reward for offering.
All right, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
$5,000 seems low for finding a giraffe.
That's what I'm saying. I was just about to say that.
A giraffe. If I had to locate a giraffe, I want $50K.
At least.
That's the minimum.
How do you wrangle it so you can even hold it? Like you can't just
you get a bag of giraffe feed from Scruggs, and you just lay a trail back into the cage, into the enclosure. How does it get out?
How do you lose a giraffe?
Only in Texas could they lose a giraffe. That thing's going to end up on the smoker at Franklin Barbecue. We got giraffe ribs today. One day only.
Said it wandered into a hilly, rocky section of a property that they avoided, and they came on the wrong side of the gate. What? I'm reading more into this after that.
Yeah, you do that. I'll just let everybody know that Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has what you want for less, especially if you're looking to snare a giraffe. Good Hope Land and Timber. Maybe if you need a big, huge tract of land to get that giraffe onto. I don't know. But if you are a landowner in this state, the Good Hope Land and Timber folks are hoping to hear from you. They want to help you. They want to help you manage your land, manage your timber, manage your resources, do it all sustainably, but do it all profitably. You can do all of that with a simple phone call to my friends at Good Hope Land and Timber. They're experts in their field. You can make them experts in your field with that phone call. If you're trying to buy or sell land, they can certainly make that purchase happen for you. 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. We haven't had any interviews on the show this week. Normally when we do, those are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. I was at Allura Modern Wellness today. I had a robot massage.
How was it?
It was fun. It was good. I feel my back doesn't hurt right this second, so that's a plus. So it's called Acescape. You can book a 30 or 60-minute session right there at AlluraModernWellness.com. And basically you lay down. There's a tablet. You kind of put in, you know, hey, my back is what's bothering me, my legs, whatever. How firm do you want the pressure? That you can customize literally everything. And it's, you know, for a guy especially, sometimes it can be awkward to go to get a massage, right? Not the case with Acescape at Allura Modern Wellness because there's nobody else in the room but you. It's very private. All the awkwardness is taken out. And as I always say, I walked out the door feeling a lot better than when I walked in. So check out the Acescape robotic massage at Allura Modern Wellness. You can book a 30 or 60-minute massage at AlluraModernWellness.com. All right, Bulldogs back in the transfer portal. Grabbed a couple of players yesterday. And one of them, you know, we've been talking about this catcher position. Maluski, going to be back, not going to be back. I saw this on the message board, and I agree with this. And I hate to smash on Chris Lemonis after he's gone, but he is this is a true statement. Malewski has not committed to returning to Mississippi State. He obviously wants to see what's going to happen in the draft, and if he doesn't go where he wants to go, he has the fallback to come to Mississippi State. Lemonis would have just let it ride, I think. He would not have gone out and tried to get another catcher, and then it would have turned into Malewski gets drafted, and now he's gone, and you got to go find whatever you can find in the transfer portal, maybe a junior college player, and it just would not have been proactive about it. Right. Not the case with O'Connor. O'Connor, if Malewski comes back, great. We'll have a competition. Malewski, maybe you have to, somebody has to change positions. I don't know. But we're not going to go into next season, is what O'Connor's saying, I'm not entirely sure who my catcher is. So the name is Burke Lee Mabius, coming to you from Oregon, the Oregon Ducks, who, of course, were the number 11 seed in the NCAA tournament this year. Their season ending at the hands of Texas in the Super Regional there. A 6'4", 215-pound catcher. State, you know, Malewski's 6'5", this kid's 6'4". Normally you don't see catchers that size, but
O'Connor might like him like that.
O'Connor has done a good job of finding him. 286 last year, 8 home runs, 31 RBIs, OPS of 890, slugged 509. Threw out 13 of 29 base runners that he faced. So, I mean, almost 50%. That's a good number.
That is a good number.
And I won't pretend to understand all of the analytics, but has a reputation as a top-notch pitch framer. You know, and the way I've been looking at this, Carlo, is Valinkas, McPherson, Stone, Bauer. These guys are strike throwers. They're going to throw strikes regardless. But if I can steal a couple here and there, that's going to make a difference for Mississippi State. So I think this was an outstanding pickup for the Bulldogs at a position where they could not afford to go much longer without it with uncertainty.
And think about how many issues it really took till later in the season with Malewski for him to turn it on. Think about how many issues they had earlier on the year with, you know, drop balls, pass balls, and, you know, is it going to be Sean James? Is it going to be Andrew Raymond? Is it going to be Kevin Malewski? You kind of clear cut now. You know what you have in Malewski because of how he played towards the end of the year, but then you also bring in this guy who has kind of proven himself. And also, you know, I've noticed a lot with these transfers, O'Connor's going very young. He wants these guys for at least a year or two. And this kid, to my understanding, I believe is a sophomore.
I think he's a junior now coming in.
Now he'll be a junior. So he'll have at least a year or two. And what I've also read up on him is he's very good defensively, like you said, with the pitch framing, but also throwing out guys. And, you know, position-wise, you could argue a catcher was their biggest question mark pretty much until about May when Malewski really solidified himself, maybe after the LSU series. So solving that was a big thing, and I'm sure O'Connor did not want to do what they had to do this year all over again.
Right. I mean – their state had losses because of the catcher position last year.
USM
game.
I was going to say the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, but even they, you know, they had some problems with wild pitches against UCLA. And some of their other losses, you know, wild pitches were a problem all year. And I know wild pitch is technically on the pitcher, but a good catcher, and Malewski did shore that up for Mississippi State. But also, state teams ran on Mississippi State. You know, the state had trouble holding runners on. Hopefully, you know, it's been since Logan Tanner was behind the plate for Mississippi State that they've had a guy that you could just trust to throw guys out that was a deterrent to base running. So that's hopefully what State's got with this guy. Later on in the day, they add I'm going to call him a utility player. He's listed as a second baseman and left fielder. My guess is he'll have an opportunity to try either one. The second base is very open for Mississippi State. The outfield, we'll have to see how that goes. But Carter White from the University of North Florida, 302 average last year, 11 home runs, 11 doubles. So of his 54 hits, 25 of them went for extra bases. Slugged 581, OPS of 963, 104 total bases. I think this guy comes in to compete with Sean James at second base, and it's going to be kind of the best man wins deal. He could also possibly be, you know, State's still on the hunt for another outfielder. You know, they have Souders. They have, obviously, Jacob Parker. A friend of mine, by the way, misunderstood something that we were talking about on yesterday's podcast. And she sent me a text. She was like, did Jacob Parker go to Ole Miss? And I was like, oh, my God, if Jacob Parker went to Ole Miss, that would be the whole show. the whole next five shows would be like, how on earth did we allow this to happen? It's like, no, Charlie Foster. We were talking about Justin Parker, and she just misunderstood. But like my antennas went up. I was like, what? Like, do I need to check Twitter? What is going on here? Yes, Charlie Foster went to Ole Miss. Anyway, this pickup, regardless of where he plays, to me, is another example of O'Connor's philosophy of, I'm just going to get talent, and it'll go where it goes, and they'll people who play, and a Vitas Valencius who sat the bench for 3 months but comes on at the end, a Blake Beavis that kind of does the same. Drew Weyers, you know, had his moments here and there. I think I thought about that today. I was like, how different is his season if he doesn't get hit by that ball in the Auburn game? Like, he was scheduled to start. He would have started probably the rest of the year if he had stayed. So I don't know the answer to that. But all year last year, State had guys come in, go to the bench, come off the bench. Sean James had a big hit against Ole Miss.
Triple.
Stallman was in and out of the lineup at times. You know, outside of Reese and Bryce Chance, nobody was just every day, I'm going to be in the lineup for Mississippi State. That's how it has to be when you're an elite team. So adding another bat, another guy who can give you some pop. I think of State's, if you look at the guys they brought in terms of hitters, I think only Mabius is not a double-digit home run guy at whatever level they were at. So, but 8 home runs as a sophomore leads me to believe he's probably got some pop in his bat. He'll probably be challenging for that this year. And you're bringing back Parker, who you know is a double-digit home run guy. Woodson certainly has the potential to be a double-digit home run guy. If Maluski comes back and he wants to, you know, play first, maybe he can play first base, or maybe he could DH, I don't know. You know he's a double-digit home run guy. This team, they set a school record for home runs this year. I think they're going to break it next year.
I saw some stuff that they said Maluski can play first.
So I don't know if that's the case or not.
Did you see that?
I've seen people talking about it. I keep going back, and I mentioned this on yesterday's pod. I keep going back to Moneyball, where they're talking to Hatterberg, and he's like, all I've ever done is catch. And he's like, we'll teach you to play first. It's not that hard, is it? No, it's incredibly hard. But hey, anything worth doing is, you know, something like that. I don't know if Maluski can play first or not. I don't know. I think he would. And the problem with the idea of him at DH is, you know, Sullivan this year as the DH hit 330, 340. I don't think Maluski's hitting 330, 340. He would be I would be really happy if he was a 260 guy. 260 with his power is great, but I don't think that you can have that from your DH.
No, so, I agree.
I don't know. I don't know what becomes – my guess is, talking to some people, is he's going to get drafted somewhere and he'll just take what he gets and moves on. But if he comes back, it's a great thing for Mississippi State. So, we shall see. All right. Monday show. Let's try to set up the week next week. So, SEC preview next week is LSU. That's an interesting one. Opponent preview next week is the Auburn Tigers. That's an interesting one. We'll do defensive line next week on the on summer school. We'll definitely have some more baseball to talk about, I'm sure, as we move along there in the transfer portal. Plus, who knows? I'm sure we'll come up with something else between now and then. Carlin, have safe travels. I'll see you back here next week.
Yes, you will. See you soon.
Bye, man. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
A Super Talk, Mississippi media production.